One of the incredible, massive changes that came to the way that we use our leisure time started with a 14-year-old farm boy in America. A guy called Philo Farnsworth was born in rural America, was born in a log cabin, and he went to school on horseback. And he was a farm boy, used to plow the fields. In the early 1920s, he was working on a farm. He was plowing a field. He was plowing his straight line as he was on this potato farm. But his mind wasn't on potatoes. His mind was far away. As he was plowing, he was dreaming of the possibility of transmitting moving pictures throughout the air. He had no electronic background. He had no engineering background. He wasn't a scientist, little education. But as he was plowing these straight lines, he imagined dividing up a screen, dividing it into long rows like the field that he was plowing, and then using electricity to create areas of light and dark at points along the row, and then stacking the rows one upon another. And he imagined bringing those to focus a picture. Not long after, September the 7th, 1927, he transmitted the world's first electronic television pictures. And television, of course, has changed our lives in so many ways. If you've tried fasting for a week from TV, you realize what an impact that box has on our lives. There was a lot of change has been brought to our society as a result of his invention. I want to talk this morning about change. Not change, not that kind of change, but change in our lives. And I believe that there are two opposing facets in our attitudes towards change. To some extent, we all love something new. We all love something new and fresh, something exciting and different. And yet, to some extent, we're often wary of change and actually like doing things the kind of comfortable way that we feel safe and familiar with. I went to a job interview a number of years ago, and the personnel department decided that I needed to be analysed by this computer kind of test to check I was kind of okay. And I put through this test, this battery of 100 questions. The computer churned out and gave me this profile, kind of came out of the computer. And after the test, the personnel officer interviewed me and said the test showed me to be of normal personality. Ooh, that was a relief. And no tendency to abnormal psychological traits. And then she suddenly said, except. And at that point, I sat up in my seat. I thought, oh dear, what's she going to say? Except what? She said, except that you have an unusual and abnormal propensity for change. Something about you that likes change. I think they wondered if they should offer me a job. They thought, well, maybe we shouldn't offer the guy this job because maybe he won't stay. Anyway, they did offer me the job. Funnily enough, I only stayed there a short time. We've all got in us a desire for change. But we also love the familiar. When I got married 15 years ago, Barbara and I had the privilege, the joy of an extended honeymoon where we had 3.5 months. Amazing time it was. Traveled throughout Southeast Asia and went to India and Nepal and China and Thailand and Singapore, on the Borneo and Hong Kong as we were traveling around. But as the time went on, it was fantastic. But as the time went on, another new bed. I'm sure Craig and Jenny feel this feeling very much. Another new bed, another new place. I was weary of change. In fact, I wanted my toast, my marmalade, and my cup of tea. I wanted what was safe, and I wanted what was familiar. I longed for it. You know, I believe it's true in our individual lives and for our corporate life together here at New Life. There's a desire in our hearts for new things from God. And yet, there's also something which likes the familiar and something that resists change. This morning, I believe God wants to speak to us as a church about stirring our desire for change, stirring our desire for moving on into all that God has for us. There are many good things that we have here together as a church, but God wants to bring change, I believe. God is in the change business. I want to look at the journey of the people of God in the Old Testament as a pattern of our journey here as his people here in North London. The Apostle Paul explains, there's a lovely little passage in 1 Corinthians where he explains that one of the things, one of the aspects of the journey of the people of God, he's specifically talking about the things that happen to the people of God in the Old Testament. In that passage, he says these things that happened to the people of God in the Old Testament, that they were written down, that they're examples, and they were written down, and they're warnings, who? For us. Talking about us, Paul's talking about the people who are the church, us here in the last days, those on whom is the fulfillment of the ages. And that's us. That's the time Paul's talking about now. And so one way, as we look through what happened to the people of God in the Old Testament, we see their ups and downs, we see their struggles, we see the things that happened to them. One aspect of what happened to them, Paul is explaining to us, is that it's an example and it's a warning so that we wouldn't make the mistakes that the people of God made in the Old Testament, and that we would wholeheartedly learn from their mistakes. And so we've got something to learn this morning from this journey. Let's pray together. Father, we come here, we're your people. We are humble before you. Lord, we're wanting to ask that you would help us not to make the mistakes, Lord, that the people of God in the Old Testament made as they journeyed. The things they did, the things where they made errors, the things they did that were wrong. Lord, we want to be those. Thank you that we're those who are part of this end times, these last days, those on whom is the fulfillment of the ages. Lord, you've put us in a time of history of tremendous privilege. Lord, we are in the very last seconds of the last hour of what you're doing, Lord. We are privileged people. Lord, we wanted today to learn. We don't want to tread the path of error. We don't want to tread the path of mistakes that happened in the past. Lord, we want to learn from those things. And we want to fully embrace all that you have for us. Holy Spirit, come today. Stir our hearts to get hold of all that you have for us. Amen. The people of God, of course, in the Old Testament, they were brought out of Egypt. And God's brought us out of our Egypt. We read the account in Exodus and Numbers, in Deuteronomy and Joshua. God rescued his people from the slavery to the Egyptians. And God wonderfully has rescued us from our slavery to sin and the old life. God took the people in the Old Testament on a journey. God brought them out of Egypt, and then there was this journey into the destination that God has. God's taken us out of the world, out of sin, out of a slavery to the old life, and we're now on this journey heading towards the destination that God's got for us. One of the mistakes as soon as we become a Christian is to think that we've come out of one thing and into another. And in one sense we have, because potentially all the blessings we have in Christ are ours. And yet, individually and corporately, there is a process. There's a change, there's a journey for us to go in the destination that God has for us. Ultimately, of course, our destination is heaven. Ultimately, the destination God has for us is the place that we long to be, the place we're made for, the place that's our home. Ultimately, that's our destination. But there's a destination that's more immediate, this side of heaven, that God has in mind for us. It's God's goal of seeing his kingdom done, come, his will be done here in North London, of seeing an expression of the body of Christ such that we're seeing the presence of God and the power of God and the kingdom of God here in London that God has for us to see. And I feel we're like the people of God in the desert on the way to the promised land. We're people on the move. We're heading in a direction. We're heading in a destination. As Jesus says he's going to build his church, that's the specific destination I believe God has for us. Once out of Egypt, the people of God in the Old Testament were on the move the whole time. They stopped in a camp for maybe a few days, maybe a bit longer. And they got up and they moved again. They stopped again. They moved again. There was always this sense of movement and journey and moving forward. And that's true for our individual lives. That's very uncomfortable and very inconvenient. But that's just as on my honeymoon, I got a bit weary of that constant change. Sometimes we can be weary with God constantly wanting us to move on. The next thing, the new thing, what God's got for us individually and together as a church. I want to stir you this morning. If you're feeling weary of change, if you're longing for the toast and marmalade, where's the pot of tea? No. If that's what you're longing for, no. I want to stir you today to say that God has got a destination. We can't camp here. We can't put our roots down here and stop. I've talked before about New Life Church, us as a church, being like the 24 bus. And we're not like the 46. The 46 bus is not as regular, and it's always full, and you have difficulty getting on it. The C11 bus never comes, so we're not... Hopefully we're not like the C11 bus. The 24 bus, though, it's regular. It gets there. It speeds along. The drivers don't know the meaning of speed humps. They just go for it. The 24 bus starts in leafy Hampstead, just at the bottom of South End Green, and ends up in Pimlico. And there's bus after bus. And you get on, it says there's a destination on it. It's moving. It does, believe me, it doesn't hang around, that bus. It just goes. And God has for us. We as a church are like that bus. God has a direction. There's a destination on the front of it. We are heading in a direction. We're not just here. This is it. This is church. This is how it is. We are moving. God has a movement for us to head towards. Some of the larger species of sharks, not the small ones, but some of the larger species of sharks cannot stop swimming. That they're built such that the only way they can get fresh, oxygenated water is by swimming. Otherwise, if they stop, they drown, they suffocate. They have to keep going. They've got no choice. They've got to swim and swim and swim and swim. God's called us. We cannot put ourselves and say, God, this is, I just want to rest now. I just want to kind of just, can we just have a little bit of a break, you know? There's like this shark that's just got to keep going. We've got to keep going in the direction that God's got for us. God's got a destination and we've got to press on to it. I'm not saying that in a discouraging way in terms of, because we're on this journey, because the journey of the people of God was this process in the Old Testament of preparation and change. But our destination, I believe, is the vision that God's given us. As we look through scripture, we see a church. We see a church functioning. We see a life of a church. And that's the vision that God's placed before us. That we would press into all that it means to be God's people, God's new community here in North London. And we're heading on the journey. We've taken some steps. We've come a long way. Thank God for all the steps that we've taken. But God has so much more. There is so much more. If we're going to be the New Testament expression of the Church of Jesus Christ here in North London, we have got to keep on. We have got to keep moving. I'm very excited about where we're going. I get a sense in my heart, something stirring inside of me, some excitement about the destination, about where God's moving us. Now, when we look at the journey of the people in the Old Testament, whilst in the desert, they have many amazing experiences. If you look at what happened to the people of God in the Old Testament, actually, life in the desert wasn't that bad. When you look at it, the desert wasn't the desert like Sahara Desert. It was a wilderness. It was scrubby. It wasn't brilliant, but there was food enough for the animals to eat. And when you look what happened, they had amazing, miraculous provision of water. Miracles from God. They had amazing, miraculous provision of food. Their clothes didn't wear out. It's handy. They weren't sick. The supernatural cloud of God was visible to see tangibly there by day and the pillar of fire by night. They received God's perfect law and they received God's pattern for worship. And most awesome of all, they had the presence of God in their midst the whole time. So actually, it wasn't that bad. And yet, despite however good it was on the journey, it wasn't the destination, it was only the journey. And they were heading a different place. And you know, to some extent, the things that we've seen amongst us, in our own lives personally, our cell groups and us as a church, we've seen some good things. We've seen some wonderful things, some things really to be thankful for. And yet this isn't the destination. And we can't stop here. Because God has got somewhere that we're heading in. We can't settle and say, God, this is great. Now, when we when the people of God, as they were moving on towards the destination, God instructed Moses to get these 12 spies to go in and look and to see what's it like. What's this place that we're heading? This destination. Go and look at it. Bring a report back about what it's like. And so Moses got these 12 people, these representatives, these leaders, the tribes, to go and have a look. And when they went there, they said this was their collective report. They said when they came back from looking at the destination, they said the land there, it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. And they brought back huge, luscious, wonderful fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. Of this is the majority report. There was 12 of them, and this was kind of what they said as a kind of group of 12. But two of the guys kind of piped up a bit. And Joshua and Caleb, their report was different from the rest of the people that went, the rest of the other 10 that went. And they said this: the land we passed through explored is exceedingly good. The place that God's destined for his people to go into is exceedingly good. And the place that God's got for us is exceedingly good. It's far better than whatever we've tasted so far. Far better. It's worth pursuing the end result. It's worth heading towards the destination. It's exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. It says a land flowing with milk and honey. He will give it to us. It was a place of abundance. It was a place of great blessing. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land. We will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. You see, their perspective was very different from the 10, from the majority report of everyone else. Where they were just saying, oh, it's good, but there's all these other things. Oh dear, look at all this lot. And whereas these two guys, they saw it and they said, that's the place and God's going to get us there. So exciting. I feel for us here in North London that we've been on a journey of preparation for many years, and we've experienced many, many good things. We've seen some wonderful things from God. I've seen people become Christians. I've seen people then grow and take on responsibilities and be fruitful, effective servants of God. I've seen people healed. It's been a wonderful, exciting journey so far. And I will say, I'm very grateful that we've been journeying together on this. It's not something I can do on my own. We're together. We're the people of God together. And God has together led us this way. It's good. And we've seen many good things. You know, this church, New Life, started about 30 years ago. And when it started, there were a small group of people met to pray. God grew that small group of people into a church that met twice a week in a dance hall. And it was behind the Conservative Club on Lady Margaret Road. And it had no windows, and it just had mirrors round, because it's for ballet, you know, for all that kind of stuff. And so you had to get in it. You had to go through a little hole in the wall. There was no markings on it. So to find the church, it was go on Lady Margaret, look for a hole in the wall, go through that. And there was a dark, dingy alley you kind of went through. And then into this dance hall. And it was, but that's the place where God started to build something here amongst us. It was a group of people gathered together to love God, to seek him, to enjoy him. And then God sent a prophet from America. I think it was Mary May. This prophet came. A woman came from America who just turned up one Sunday. And I don't know where she came from, where she went to, but she came in and she spoke about children and about a vision for working amongst children and the importance of children. And we looked round and there was one child and that was the only child we knew at the time. Everyone else didn't have any children. God through that prophet, God brought a focus on children, such that we reorientated the whole church towards children's ministry. And everything, it was basically children's church. And we had up to 100 children. I was thinking about this the other day. We had up to 100 children. We had 4 minibuses. We bused these unchurched children. And it was a children's, the focus was on, and God did many wonderful things amongst those children's lives. And then God moved us to focusing on the parents of those children. And then on the families and on the community that lives here around us. As once God got our attention for evangelism, then God moved us, not just for the children, but for the whole family. And then God brought us and helped us discover these tools of cell groups. And we've built these amazing expressions of God's new community. We've learned to use Alpha as a reaping net. And I believe that with all my heart that when Jesus talked about the new wine and the new wineskins, Jesus modeled the new wineskin as he gathered 12 people around him and he experienced and demonstrated the new community, God's new community. These flexible cells, these amazing things that can expand and hold the new wine. And we've seen those grow and we've seen those mature. We've had a few glasses of wine of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that over these years we've tasted the wine of the Holy Spirit. And the new wine of the Holy Spirit is wonderful, refreshing, beautiful, perfect. It tastes so lovely. We've got wonderful wineskins. We're looking down the wineskin and there's some beautiful wine down there. But it's only a little bit. And the stage we're at now as a believer, as a church, in this journey, is we have wineskins, new wineskins. They're flexible. They're ready. We have a little bit of wine, but God wants us to cry out to him for much, much more of the new wine. We're at the place in our journey where God has led us over the last years, over three years now, we've been meeting week by week, crying out to God, saying, God, we need some more wine in these wineskins. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what we've seen. Thank you for the people who have become Christians. Thank you for all you've done, the people we've seen healed. But God, we need lots, lots, lots more wine. If we're going to reach this destination you've got for us of being a New Testament, kingdom-orientated community of God, seeing all that you want us to do, we need a lot more wine. God, we so need your wine. And I believe that God heard our cry, and some New Zealanders picked up on our cries. It took us 3.5 years to get their attention. No. Thankfully, and we're so grateful for Craig and Jenny for coming amongst us, just to bring us and to move us. And we've taken some more steps. And there's more steps yet because we so need so much more. These Touching Heaven meetings are stepping stones taking us into more of what God has for us, which is why they're so important, because they're part of the journey. They're not something kind of out there that God's doing amongst other churches and we're kind of involved in it. They're not something which is kind of a bolt-on or an addition to or something else. They're actually part of the journey, and the only way forward is through that journey. And so that's why what God's been doing has been so precious over these 43 nights. And I know that it's been some people, we've been away on holiday and the camps have happened, all kind of stuff happened. We've come back from holiday. And obviously you're not on holiday for the bank holiday. You wouldn't be here. and now, the only show in town, the only way forward is saying, God, we want more of your Holy Spirit. God, here we are. We're your people. Thank you for what you've done. God, we have to have much more of this new wine. And so my real heart cry to everyone here is that we would give ourselves to these meetings. We'd put ourselves before God and say, God, here we are. We're here and we're wanting more. All that you have for us. Because this is the journey that you take us. God is taking us on a journey, and this is the next step. The interesting thing about the people of God is they all traveled together, and they all went through the different experiences together. They were together in it. And so it's been wonderful as I just glanced through the our list of people in the church and how many of us have been to these meetings over these 43 nights. And I just want to really encourage you that what God's doing now, this is the thing. This is what God is doing amongst us, and to give ourselves as much as we're able to these meetings. Now, in one sense, Nick and I are a little bit like Joshua and Caleb. I wouldn't compare myself and Nick, well, I speak for Nick, but I speak for myself. to the great spiritual stature of men like Joshua and Caleb. And yet in a tiny way, in a little way, if you look what happened, God gave these guys a glimpse. There were leaders in that place, and God gave them a glimpse of the destination. And so they said, we've seen a glimpse of it, and it's good, and there may be obstacles, just being real about it, there may be obstacles, but God will help us. And if we don't rebel against God, if we stick with the plan, if we do what God's asking us to do, then we will get in there and we will enjoy all that God's got for us. And part of the function of leadership, for myself and Nick, is God's placed in our hearts a little taste, a little vision of the destination, of where we're heading in. And so, be honest with you, and saying, whilst it's good, there is going to be opposition, but it's a place that is exceedingly good. It's a place that God will take us into and we will enjoy. But it's something for us all together. God didn't just let Joshua and Caleb just going on their own. God had to wait, in fact, until there was a people ready that wanted to go in with them. And they had to wait another 40 years. We don't want to wait 40 years. No. I'll be 47. I'm 47. I will be 87. 87. 87. I could have lost some hair by then. Oh, dear. I just wanted to finish today with a glimpse, two scriptures which I believe are a glimpse of the destination, of what God's, I believe, put in our hearts. Jesus said an amazing thing. It's one of those scriptures that you think, either this, is that really in the Bible? Did Jesus really say that? And he absolutely did say it. And this is the vision. This is where God individually, this is our individual destination. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. That's what all the things that Jesus did. He will do even greater things than these. Now that is a mind-blowing kind of, what do we do with that when you read that in the Bible? Do you just skip over it and think, well, let's look at something else a bit more, less challenging, shall we? There's got to be something else in this Bible. But this is the vision. Jesus was saying, we're talking about heaven now. We're talking about the kingdom of God manifest here on earth. And so individually, you and I, whether there are about 100 people here, wherever we are here today, that each of us are walking round, as we're walking round, that we're walking doing the things that Jesus did and doing even greater things. Now, I'm not there. Are you there? We're not there. And so because we're not there, we recognize we're on a journey. We're not at the destination. If we're not on the destination, we need to be getting in to God's plan and all that he has for us to get to that destination. That is the vision for you and I as individuals. And then the vision corporately for as we gather together. But as we gather together in our cell groups and on a Sunday, someone who isn't a Christian, Paul describes in 1 Corinthians, that as they walk through the door, as they come into your cell group, as they walk into your home as they're praying, as they walk in on Sundays, the person hits the floor, falls down, worship God and says, God is really here. Because of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit and the presence of God in our midst. Now, we are not there. We've had fantastic times. We've tasted, we've touched some of heaven. But we are not at the destination. Now, I'm saying these things not to discourage us, but to realize that the amount of new wine we have individually and corporately is not enough. And so we can't just stay here in the desert where we are. We have got to press on. And so I want to challenge you, stir you, to say today, all God's asking us to do is simply saying, yes, I'll take the next step. That's all God's asking us to do. That's the thing God's asking me, God's asking you to do. And I can't do it on my own. Nick and I can't do it together. We all together, we need to go in together to what God's got for us. Because that's how God does it. God doesn't do it with individuals. It's a corporate thing. It's a together thing. It's the people of God together moving into what God's got for us. Let's stand together. Jesus. 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 Lord. Lord, we wanted just to say thank you. Lord, as we stood here before you as your church, Lord, for 30 years, Lord, you have faithfully kept us, blessed us. We've seen people saved and healed and transformed and miracles. We have seen wonderful things, Lord. And we are so grateful for the new wine that we've tasted. We're so grateful, Lord. It's pure, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's refreshing, it's powerful. Thank you so much, Lord. But Lord, today we recognize we are in the wilderness on a journey and we have not arrived at the destination. And Lord, we look at what Jesus, you said, would be the destination for each of us as individuals and for together as your people. And Lord, we say, we are not there. God, we as your people, we say, God, we haven't arrived. God, we are not at the destination. And we long for it, Lord. We long to be here in North London, seeing your kingdom come and your will be done in manifest power, in the manifest presence of God, breaking out in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our places of work, as we go shopping. God, we long for it. God, we're asking that you would take us as your people. God, you've brought us this far. We're not going to settle here in the desert. We're not going to build our camp and stubbornly refuse. And we want to do, Lord, what you said at the beginning, where we looked at that scripture where it said we must learn from what happened in the Old Testament. Lord, and we want to learn. The people of God rejected what Caleb and Joshua said. They rejected it. They turned their back and wandered away. And God, have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. Lord, today we're not those that reject what you're saying. We're those that open our hearts, accept it. By your grace, Lord, move us into the destiny you have for us. Oh, God. God, come. 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 Let's start just calling out to God, just praying. Saying, God, we need your new wine. God, we need the more of your Holy Spirit. God, we need to be empowered. God, we're not there. We need it. We haven't got it, Lord. We need much more. Oh, God, we cry to you. Lord, in my life, oh, God, for me, Lord, I need much, much more. Heavenly Father, come. Pour out upon us. Lord, we so need. Oh, God, we cry to you this morning. Lord, we're in the desert. Lord, we need the new wine. Oh, God. Lord, we're asking. Oh, God. Lord, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our homes, our neighbors, Lord, we need the new wine. Lord, for the people that live around us, the colleagues at work, Lord, we need the new wine. Oh, God, we need more. We need to be filled with the new wine, Lord. Lord, help us. Lead us. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let's worship. Jesus, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Let's give ourselves in worshiping to Jesus. Abandon ourselves to him.